It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday, live today at Assembly Food Hall here at the 5th and Broadway Complex. We're excited to be here. We're going to be here all day long with our show, with DVD, with Stillman & Company, the SEC tournament in town, of course, once again, and we're excited to be here and for them to have us here today at Assembly Food Hall. We're going to be giving away $50 hall passes to Assembly Food Hall.
Oh, nice.
Which will be cool. So we're live on the stage in Level 2, the South Stage on Level 2. They're going to have SEC watch parties on Sky Deck all weekend long. Just check out assemblyfoodhall.com for more details. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, shout out to our on-site engineer, Sean Mark, because – setting all this up
and
he's probably put in 15,000 steps this morning. So you, my friend, are the real MVP. So thank you for
all
you do.
Let's give it up for Sean Mark.
Watch out behind his security there, Sean.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Good to that. So yeah, shout out to him. And then I love being here. It's gonna be a lot of fun all day. Assembly Food Hall. This place is great anytime. Yeah. So honored to be here today.
Yeah, for sure. The fall show. Go ahead and say it.
Fall show. You know, it's funny. We all have our little idiosyncrasy.
They're called crutches.
Yeah, all right.
You can call it that.
What was the one Pogue used to have?
All right.
Yeah.
That's still probably in our system as a drop somewhere.
Oh,
he had all right. And then quite frankly,
this one. Mine was when I'm bored and not into the interview, I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
Because y'all say that probably six times a show.
I know a couple people that use that one. That's a funny one. But yeah, come by and see us at Assembly Food Hall. Again, we'll be here all day long and really excited about that. So the Titans were busy yesterday with was the first official day of free agency.
Right.
Now everything can become official and they'll start announcing some of these moves. But they brought in a few more guys, including, and I was really intrigued by this, Jared and I were at the Vandy game when this happened, and we both kind of looked at each other like, all right, I like this move. Offensive guard Kevin Zeitler, who had been with the Lions, they bring him in. So now they have their guard, and it would appear they have their starting five on the offensive line.
I like it. He's a good player. 1 year with the Lions last year, and strong, big, loves to block, loves to pancake guys. I think it's a great signing. It's not one that's going to pop off the chart. But so was it? So we got
Dan Moore.
Dan Moa, and then you got
Skoronski.
Cushionberry, which, by the way, is the best cereal.
Yeah,
it's better than Booberry and Frankenberry. Guard is Zeitler. Right tackle is J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
All right. So what does that tell you quarterback-wise going forward? Nothing or everything?
Well, what I find – I heard this morning, and Nick, I don't know if we have this ready, if you have the clip. But, okay, cool. This was really about an hour ago that Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rex Road, and they kind of asked him what that meant moving forward. This was Charles' answer, and I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I started the process. I would have told you I thought, based on conversations I had coming out of the combine, that potentially they were leaning away from Cam Ward. But, you know, they signed Dan Moore, and I think that's shifted, honestly. I really do. I think it's shifted for, you know, Cam Ward's camp. I think it's shifted for when you look at just how the Titans have prepared, conversations that I had after the Moore signing, which were just, look, they're not going out and adding a tackle at that financial price point to protect an old guy next year. They're not doing it to protect Will Levis next year. What's sort of materialized for me over the last few days is just that, you know, the Levis experience is really over there. There's no veteran out there that they're fishing around with right now. And that, if anything, when you talk to, you know, Cam Ward's corner of the planet, it's just, okay, I'm going to end up in Tennessee right now, or they're going to deal me, they're going to deal the top overall pick to the Giants. And I'm gonna be a Giant. I think that's really how Cam Ward's camp's approaching this right now. That's the two teams that he's really looking at. And of those two teams, the setup sure as heck looks like it's the Titans that are preparing to take him at that number one overall pick.
So that was this morning. So I heard that, and I was like, ooh, that makes sense, because you want an experienced veteran offensive line for a rookie quarterback.
Yes, you do. Yeah. So that means that going in to game one, it is going to be Cam Ward. There's none of this going to be benching, sitting around, waiting. They're going to go right. And that's whatever. You know, I mean, that's the way that things change these days. No more sitting around. The Jordan Love thing, the McNair sitting around. And that's fine. If he comes in and proves in June, July, and August he's your guy, throw him out there. Let him go.
I mean, what if – we love playing the what-if game here on the Chase and Big Joe show.
Yeah.
What if they take him one overall and he comes in and he really is like C.J. Stroud or, you know, like some of these guys we've seen the last few years where it's like, oh, man, they actually have their guy.
You know, the comparisons to Jaden Daniels.
Jaden, yeah.
But then Anthony Richardson, who is awful. So you got the 50-50. You don't know. But
well, I'll take it a step further. I said C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud rookie year was great. Then he had the sophomore slump. And now they don't have an offensive line anymore. So
or a coordinator, right?
Or a coordinator, yeah.
I mean, look, it is what it is. But, again, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things thrown at the Titans for that number one pick going forward. And I just, you know, the Kenny Pickett signing to the Browns, does that take them out of the quarterback race? I mean.
Well, they're supposedly going to meet with Russell Wilson.
Okay. So then it leaves Aaron Rodgers sitting
there. And, I mean, what are they doing with Deshaun Watson? Like, he's still there.
Oh.
He's been hurt.
They don't
he's still
mention
there.
His name. They don't mention
still have
his
to
name.
Pay him.
They restructured his deal, I believe.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's still on the roster is what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
I mean, what does that mean?
Still getting his $200 million. Then Mac Jones last night signed with the 49ers. He's gone. So the carousel continues. Now Aaron Rodgers sits out there and probably end up with the Steelers. But I'm telling you, man, it's just the back of my mind. He's just like, screw it. I'm going to go to Nashville.
Did you see the picture floating around on Twitter of him? He's, like, on the beach, and he's got, like – he's like got like a blanket on him, and he's just staring off into the ocean.
Is that AI or is
I don't
that real?
Know. I hope it's real.
Then because I said I'm not sure if this is real or not. And then somebody sent me a picture of him holding a teddy bear on the beach.
Yeah,
and said I don't think this is AI. I'm like it's totally AI.
Yeah.
What's going on?
But I mean, like I laughed so hard. Like if that is real, of just that's perfect. That's just kind of where he is at this point, just staring out into.
Yeah, I just
space.
Still – just the number one pick, man. You could get so much for that. But if he is your guy, he is your guy.
Well,
I mean, the clock starts on all of them.
To be fair, to play devil's advocate.
Well, you do that good too.
Don't you think that if they felt like they could get a lot for that pick, they would have already made the move?
No. I think the closer it gets to the draft day, I think the free agency, the fog of free agency clears, then they'll know more.
Okay.
But right now, no.
I mean, that's fair. 615-737-1025. So what do you make of Charles Robinson's comments? Do you think that them getting a veteran offensive line could point to Cam Ward? Is that's kind of what he's saying. Do you agree with that? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, we're live today at Assembly Food Hall. The SEC tournament will get going again here in just a little bit. But I found those comments to be interesting. And, you know, now the other part of this is you need to get him some actual help on offense. Now, he's got a good running back. I'm good with that.
Okay.
But the receiving core, you got Calvin Ridley and Van Jefferson and Oliver something. Bryce Oliver, thank you.
Yes.
Like, that's what you got right now. And you still need to draft a receiver. Like, I would, if they spent their second pick on a receiver, I'd love that. But you got to give him some offensive weapons. Chigakonkwo,
no.
He's not it, in my opinion.
No, not at all. And, I just think so much could happen between now and April 26th. There's so much could happen. Somebody might say, all right, we get frustrated and throw all this stuff at the Titans, and they'll be like, okay, all right, we like this. Let's go for it. And boom, you know, I remember talking to John Robinson. We traded with the Rams in 2016. They're like, John Robinson told me this. He said, I knew we were not going to keep that pick.
Yeah.
So I knew in my mind we were not going to keep that pick. We were going to trade out and get as much as we can. Right now it seems like the Titans are, I don't think they're conflicted, but they're like, all right, we're 50-50 kind of right. And maybe a little more than 60-40 now with Cam Ward. But I'm not all in on Cam Ward, man. But, again, they're not asking me.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. What do you think? And Robbie just texted me, and he is right about this, that Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles, so he's out all year. So he's just going to collect a check, basically.
But I thought his rehab was going well, according to some.
I don't know. I mean, that's a terrible – but Jimmy Haslam is going to regret that contract forever and ever.
It is the worst contract in the history of professional sports.
Joe, he went on vacation, and apparently he ruptured his Achilles on vacation. He was on track with his recovery process, but was not wearing
it. So he did it again?
Yeah, I believe so.
But let me ask you this. There was a thing where he did a TikTok, which I don't know why he's doing that, and he did something, him walking, and he showed that he did not have a protective boot on his Achilles or on his foot.
Right.
And that was in contrast to he was supposed to wear that boot at all times. So that's some sort of neglect, they were saying. And that might be a way the Browns can get out of that contract. But I who knows?
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We're live today at Assembly Food Hall at 5th and Broadway. Come by and see us as we'll be here all day long. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and their free agent signings. Darby Hendrickson, Predators assistant coach, will join us at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. We're live at Assembly Food Hall, 5th and Broadway. Come by and see us. Assembly Food Hall is the entertainment capital of Nashville, conveniently located just across from Bridgestone Arena. So if you're coming down and going to games today, swing by before and after and say hi to us here at 5th and Broadway. They have live music, breathtaking views from the Sky Deck, Nashville's largest rooftop stage, 30-plus eateries and bars, three stages of entertainment, and so much more. So come by and see us as we're here and obviously a part of the SEC tournament, and all of our SEC coverage is today, tomorrow, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. And also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV.
Busy. It's a lot to read. I love it. Thanks for all the everybody pitching in and doing this. Yesterday I went to the tournament, and shout out to Bridgestone. I mean, they did such a good job, and everything set up, and the SEC people. It's just so well done, so well set up, so nice. Everything's taken care of. So shout out to them. Here's my problem. Okay? And then real quick.
Is this a rant?
No, it's not a rant. So we're watching the basketball game yesterday, all of them. And it's just – it drives me crazy that nobody rebounds anymore. All the Vandy had a guy in the paint who could have turned around and taken a shot, probably made it two-pointer, kicks it back out to guy who takes like a 27-footer and clanks it and it goes out of bounds. I don't know what's happened to college basketball. I just – the big man has been eliminated from the game, and now it's all who could shoot from the outside. LSU last night just tried to shoot everything in the – it was terrible. Vanderbilt, I think it was combined 5 for 26 between them and Texas yesterday.
Shooting percentages are terrible.
Vanderbilt lost the game because all they wanted to do was shoot three-pointers. They would not go inside. Nobody wants to go inside, and it just drives me insane. If Pat Ewing, Akeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, those bigs back in the 80s and 90s were Shaq – you'd be out of the game. There's no need for you. I'm tired of seeing big guys underneath get it and then look to kick it back out. Be tough. Try to score. Power inside. Nobody's tough inside anymore. It's kind of sad. That's my rant.
No, I think it's 100%. I was talking about that with Jared when we were watching the game of, like, they just don't want to drive to the basket. Everything's perimeter game.
Right.
And then you look at the actual shooting percentages for all these teams, and they're terrible.
It was awful. Then Texas started figuring out, all right, we're going to go inside a little bit, pound it inside, see what we can do, and they did it. And they got the job done. It's just such a far cry from college basketball. Everybody wants to be the Steph Curry, and you're not.
Yeah.
You are not the Steph Curry. See it every day. So – and Texas had a guy number two yesterday, came off the bench. Guy was diving for balls. He was rebounding. He's blocking people out. Everything. I was like, that I need 10 of those on my team. I need 10 of those guys who show desperation every time they're on the court to win. And Vanderbilt got outplayed. I'm not saying they outcoached. I don't know. But they got outplayed yesterday. And it was, I don't know. Now you're sitting at home and I don't even think Vanderbilt deserves to go to the tournament, but they'll get in and get beat in the first round.
Vandy falls to Texas 79-72. South Carolina gave Arkansas a great game earlier in the day. They were down by like 25 at one point, went on a huge run. But Coach Calipari and Arkansas pull away, win it 72-68. And then the night session, Mississippi State defeated LSU 91-62. Oklahoma beats Georgia 81-75. So that was the first day of the SEC tournament. And then coming up at noon, Arkansas will take on Ole Miss at Bridgestone Arena. And then the 2:30 game is, how about this, Texas A&M.
Oh.
That should be fun. Mississippi State, Missouri. And then the nightcap, Oklahoma and Kentucky.
Which will end closer to midnight than anything else. I think last night's game ended at maybe at 11.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, the last 30 seconds of the game will take an hour.
But it's fun. I mean, it is fun being sure. there. It's fun, the environment, fun, the crowd. Mississippi State, Dr. Crane, you'd be proud of your Mississippi State people. They brought a lot of fans with them, and they were very loud last night taking on LSU.
I love it. The sea of maroon and white, baby.
Yeah, it was good. So it's good to see all those crowds here at Bridgestone Arena. Again, we're right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. But asking this question, 615-737-1025, with the Titans building a veteran, more veteran, I should say, offensive line, J.C. Latham is now the, you know, the youngest guy on the line with, you know, going into his second year, then Skoronski. Then you have a veteran at left tackle, center, and right guard on the offensive line. Does that kind of point you in the direction that they're probably going to go Cam Ward and have a young quarterback?
I think no. I just think they needed to rebuild an offensive line, which was terrible. And now you've got some potential there. I know potential is a terrible word in the world of sports, but there is. I mean, you got some guys who could now put together a nice cohesive unit and go forward. And look, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm thinking, all right, what they got in Tennessee? Oh, well, they got J.C. Latham at left tackle. Well, halfway through the season, he got his butt beat on every play. And then Skoronski, nah, what about your right tackle? Oh, we don't have one. Now if you're in Rodgers, you look at this offensive line, you're like, all right, they got something decent there. I could play behind that. Now go forward and kind of fix other things out, mainly what, receiver? And then They traded Kenneth Murray yesterday.
Yeah, that was interesting. But they had signed the Barton kid, so.
Barton Simmons.
I did that, yeah. Or 5604 says, do you think the new left tackle signed from the Steelers knows they're going to take Cam Ward? By that I mean, do you think that was part of the negotiations to get him here? Do you think they told him that? No, I don't, because teams don't typically do that. Like, I mean, I don't even think the Titans truly know what they're going to do yet. I think they're still evaluating. Now, to me, if that's the case, that's going to tell you that if you don't know by now, then I think you know the answer. That if you're still second-guessing, is this the dude or not?
Right.
Then I think you know the answer, that he's probably not worth the first overall pick. But, I think that they're going to continue to go through this process. But, no, I don't think they told Dan Ward or Dan.
You know Dan Mola. Do you know one name we're not hearing anymore? Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're
it's not being. I mean, and now I was reading last night.
I think his stock's dropped.
How Jackson Dart is zipping up everything that's going on. In fact, there was some like, you know, this Jackson Dart could be the guy if everything's said and done. Who knows? But Sanders seems to be dropping down just a tad bit right now.
Steven from Hendersonville, this is probably the truest text. I think it signifies the Titans are tired of getting their ass kicked on the right side more than their intentions to draft a quarterback.
There you go. I like that. Yeah, exactly.
I think that could be it. If you draft Cam Ward, you got to bring in a guy like Cooper Kupp. The thing about Cooper Kupp is he's hurt a lot.
He's hurt a lot.
And
I think he's. I think he likes the West Coast. I think he's Cardinals, Raiders, Seahawks, somewhere on that, 49ers on that end.
Yeah, I could see it. I saw, let's see, I'm trying to pull this up. Kuharski tweeted out last night, don't expect the Titans to be involved in any initial flurry with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. To me, he's like nothing to do there. So, I mean, that's a, yeah, I mean, he was good, won a Super Bowl, but injured and all that. No, I think you go on and do that. So, I don't know. It's interesting, though. You bring up, you know, with the number one pick, you know, the Titans still hold all the cards for a lot of things. And, you know, what if I don't know, what if the Raiders still come again at him, or another team that's, you know, the Giants comes at him with all, hey, we want to, and offers him so much. I mean, how do you, that's why I wanted Rodgers to come here, because he's your quarterback. And I'll ride Rodgers with Will Levis.
Sure.
But if you got the Giants, you're going to trade up, going to give you five or six options now with draft choices and everything. I'm taking that, man.
How funny would it have been? If it, just like it with the Jets, you know, they kept Zach Wilson to back up Rodgers. Rodgers gets hurt four plays in, and then they got to go back to Wilson. They would have brought him here, and it, like if the same thing had happened, you go right back to left.
Right. I mean, that's so – I'm trying to look up, like, you know, everybody's putting this thing out there about Arch Manning. You know, is Arch Manning did anything at Texas to – so if the Titans push back, all right, we're going to maybe look next year. What's Arch Manning done to prove to Chase McCabe that he is worthy of the number one pick?
He hadn't done anything. Thank you. If we're going to live on that premise, why isn't Marcell Reed in the conversation? Oh, I know why. Because his last name's not Manning.
Yeah.
The only reason that Arch – and, I think Arch is talented. We're going to find out. You know, now that he's got the keys to the car, like, we're going to find out. But – I just think you hear that Manning, it's like,
got to get him here.
He's going to be like Peyton or Eli or Archie.
So here's the NFL
draft. What if he's like Cooper? No offense to Cooper, but.
Cooper was a receiver, and did he have scoliosis
or something?
Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's just, let's pump the brakes.
All right, so NFLDraftBuzz.com. Here are the top-ranked quarterbacks going into the next year. Arch Manning, number one. Nico, Ima Alaiviva. How do you say Ima?
I don't agree
Ima
with that.
Ima Alaiviva. There we go.
The third guy there is the one that I think you should pay attention to.
Drew Allar, where is he again?
Allar, Penn State.
Penn State, okay.
Yeah.
Shows you what I know.
He's pretty legit.
Then you got Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU.
Nussmeier's not bad.
Cade Klubnik at Clemson.
He's not bad.
Sam Leavitt at Arizona State. Jackson Arnold at Auburn. Miller Moss, South Carolina.
No, well, it's USC.
At USC. Yeah, I'm sorry. Jackson Arnold at Auburn, yeah. And then Carson Beck at Miami. So, I mean, do you think one of your guys is in the next draft? I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. I think Nico's overrated.
Totally overrated. Thank you for that.
Sorry, Vols fans. I just think he is. I'm curious of what's behind him. Because I think they may have some things behind him.
At Nico?
Yeah.
George McIntyre.
Yeah, that's who I was alluding to.
Yeah. But that's a long way down the line. But if you're going to put it off and get Arch, and y'all are clamoring for Arch Manning, I need to see what he does. I mean, he might be a disaster down there. To see that, but that's what we got, man.
Coming up next, the Predators have gotten hot as of late. They've won four in a row. We'll talk to assistant coach Darby Hendrickson coming up next, live from Southern California. We'll do that here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, live today at Assembly Food Hall at 5th and Broadway. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this TV theme Thursday. We're live at Assembly Food Hall just across the street from Bridgestone Arena. The SEC tournament going on right now. So that means the Predators, they're on the road for a four-game road trip. And they're back at it tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks at the Pond in Anaheim. We say hello now to assistant coach Darby Hendrickson, who joins us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic, and I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk to you today, because when I was watching, I can't remember if it was against Chicago or Seattle, but you did one of the hits with Kara Hammer, and you were talking about that your guys are just having fun. And I watched this four-game win streak and all the stuff with the trade deadline and, you know, all that stuff and where the season has gone, and I watch you guys, and I think that's right. It just seems like these guys are having a lot of fun now. What is it that has kind of changed that has allowed that to happen?
Yeah, well, and thanks for having me on this morning. Well, obviously, we wish that hit was our first five games into the year when, you know, we're trying to put a group together in chemistry. I think a lot of it is it goes by leaders and people that are here and the right message. And obviously, you have Andrew Burnett, you know, the head coach, who I think day in and day out lives it on his sleeve in terms of wanting the best, our team to be the best, and then that has to spread to the players. you know, and there's guys like Steven Stamkos right now that are obviously, you know, it's not, again, not the year you want, but producing and saying the right thing in the room. And you can feel that when you're on the bench to what you just mentioned. And like I said, it's, you're trying to create positive, even though it's not been the year you want. But the top guys, the leaders, but really everyone's got to feel that and do it. And not only say it, but walk it.
As a coach, when you see how your guys are playing, knowing that playoffs are probably not in the cards this year, I mean, that's got to make you feel better. And it's also got to be a really good example for these young guys that are going to be coming up and we're going to be seeing that Barry Trotz has talked about, to see that no matter what, that effort is still there.
For sure. You know, there's always, you know, I just did a cultural element to where you're at. I mean, and every year you come in with a team, and if you look at the Predators last year, they go on an incredible run. I know it's a very, very tight series. They lose to Vancouver, but they're right there where they could have a phenomenal run. But it's culture, and it's people that have been here for a lot of years that create that. And I think the challenge is with, you know, trade deadlines, losing players that are pieces of your team, you know, having Roman Yossi, your captain, out. I mean, all these things affect the culture of your team. But when you're, you know, I just say, for example, our team, we're traveling. It's up to everyone to not only today have a great practice, but be ready for the next day, but create a culture for younger players that are coming here, create a culture for pride, create a culture for what you do every day as a pro. And, you know, I think there's still a lot of really good pieces here, even though it's, again, you're not getting the results you want. The people that are here are really, really good.
We're talking to Darby Hendrickson, assistant coach of the Nashville Predators on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Coach, I want to ask you, after the deadline passed, was there like this just deep breath and just like, okay, it's over, now let's go play? Because to me, you guys seem so much more relaxed now on the ice than you were before.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think if you probably, you know, had every player on, you know, you really don't know where that's going. It could be a week or 2 weeks before. You know, I've talked to a few of the players that got traded, and I think, you know, you don't know. You have an agent. I mean, there's kind of talk of this could happen, that could happen. There's probably deals that didn't happen. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of the guys that are here, and another name I'd say is Colton Sissons. You're really glad he's here, and he's, you know, he's an unbelievable teammate. And you know, it's those type of guys that kind of bring the calm and show up and play and say the right thing as well. And, there's definitely something to that with players, because there's uncertainty, and that is the world that you live in. But at the same token, there's something that settles in where, again, you play and you're with your team. This is where we're at the rest of the year, and let's go at it and give it everything we can the rest of the year.
Yeah, you guys have won four straight. I'm telling you, you're playing great hockey. And I just look at the fact of, you know, Vancouver's got 71 points. And I don't know how much you look at the standings, Coach. And now you guys are at 57, but you got 18 left. I mean, I'm the eternal optimist to see you guys win these next 18 games, get 36 points, and then zip into the playoffs. I'm not giving up hope, Coach, and I know you guys aren't
yeah,
either.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, that's, again, I was saying that earlier, like – We're in Anaheim today. Our focus today is have a great practice. We play Anaheim, obviously, Friday, and then we got LA Saturday. And I mean, let's keep going. And we've had certain runs this year. One was before Christmas. We had another one where we won five games. Actually, it was when we came into Anaheim, and that changed. It's just that consistency factor, and it all starts with your prep, your preparation. And today we have that opportunity to come in and work and be together. And I'll be honest with you, like, we didn't love our last game against San Jose. Yes, we won. Yes, we had two power play goals. Yes, Drew Saros was fantastic. But we can be better, and we got to bring that into our focus today to bring it in tomorrow.
Darby Hendrickson is with us, assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. You mentioned Saros, but, you know, Eustace Onanen and UC Saros have kind of become this tandem this year since earlier in the year. What's been your takeaways from the goaltending through such a tough season?
Both have been fantastic at different stretches. Anunin, I think, has been a great add for us. We had Scott Wedgwood early. You know, he went to Colorado, and Anunin is, you know, just a huge physically. I mean, if when he's got his pads on, you're like, just don't even move in the net because the puck will hit you. You're so big. But just a worker. And Drew Saros, obviously been a National Predator for a number of years. And there's been moments where he's been so good this year, including last game. There's been moments where we could do a better job in front of him. But just really like our goaltending tandem. And it's just, again, we have to do a good job in front of them. Their job, you know, is to make the first save. But the second, third chances, that's what we got to clean up around the net. And, I mean, those are some of the focus points we have every day as a coaching staff to support them and put them in the best position to be successful.
We're talking to Preds assistant coach Darby Hendrickson here on the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, so you got practice today, and then you play Anaheim Friday and the Kings Saturday. So after practice today, what do you, I'm always curious, and this I ask this question all the time. Like, what's do you hang out with the coaches? Do you go to dinner with the players? Like, what's the approach you take, coach, when you're on the road like this?
We do have a lot of time with our coaching staff, which I think is really important off the ice. Where I mean, you're talking the game, but you're talking life, you're talking family. I think that's a huge thing. I think there's a cohesiveness that the players see when the staff is tight. But I have a good buddy that I grew up with. I grew up in Minnesota, who lives out in California now. So I would connect with him and his wife later for dinner. And he's someone I don't see a lot. So great friend, dear friend. That would be on my list today. But most trips we would be, you look forward to being the staff, and it's outside, you know, the rink. Obviously when we're at the rink and we're focused, but it's fun to get away from the rink and talk the game, but also talk life. And we just talk about your kids, but also just be together. And I think that's something you cherish, especially when you travel so much.
I do. I'm sorry for the delay. I was reading. You were Minnesota's Mr. Hockey in 1991. Yeah. That's a pretty damn good honor, Coach.
Well, thank you. That was years and years ago. But we all know there's one Mr. Hockey. That was Gordie Howe. But it was a neat award in Minnesota when you're younger. And I got to give my brother credit. He was on my line when I got that award. And we had... He set me up a lot for goals, so it's I give him a little love too because he made me look good.
No, you do not downplay you being Mr. Hockey. That no, yeah, no yeah. Sir, no sir.
well, it's, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of fun that I mean that was probably 30 some years ago. That award's been going on for 40 years, and actually, if you look at that award, it's pretty cool to see some names that of players that went on to play in the National Hockey League. You know, you could, you know, it's pretty impressive. There's a lot of guys. There's probably 15 guys that went on to play in the NHL, which is pretty cool coming out of Minnesota.
That is very awesome. Coach, always enjoy the chats with you. Thanks so much for doing this. Good luck against Anaheim and LA, and we'll see you when you guys get back.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day in Nashville, Tennessee.
Absolutely. That is Darby Hendrickson joining us here on the program, assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. And you know, as they keep going on this journey that is this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to try and make it five in a row starting tomorrow. But I love the attitude I'm hearing right now.
Sure.
With this team. And, you know, for people that want to sit there and go, oh, they don't need to be winning. They need to be tanking. They're not wired that way. And like, if they are, I heard Barry Trotz say this with Jared the other day, that like, look, you know, you got to – you obviously would love to get the high draft pick if that does fall your way. But if there are guys that are coming into your room and they're not wanting to win and not having that, then I don't
right.
want them in the room.
I don't want to hang out with you in life.
Yeah, right.
I do not want to hang out with you life. If you think that losing is okay, I do not want to be with you at all. And Mr. Hockey's telling us exactly what, you know, go out there and grind and get it done. I'm saying if I was a Mr. Hockey, I would – have a tattoo. I'd wear a t-shirt all the time. I mean, that's a big honor.
You just carry the
award. It's like Mr. Football in Tennessee.
I mean, you've always said that if you were, you know, won a Super Bowl or whatever, you just carry it around all the time.
I would all the time. Why Tom Brady doesn't wear seven rings all the time is beyond me. Probably get robbed.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But I don't want to hang around losers. Not at all. And if you do, I don't know anybody who wants to hang around losers. But this hockey team looks extremely relaxed.
They do, and they're having fun. I mean, that's a big thing. Usually we would have Greg Wyshynski on Thursdays, but he is off this week. He is always presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Appreciate Darby Hendrickson for joining us here on the show. We'll have more coming live today from Assembly Food Hall, 5th and Broadway. Come by and see us. They are ready to go. You can come by and say hello to all of us before you go over to Bridgestone Arena across the street and go to the games. They have SEC watch parties on Skydeck all weekend long. Just check out assemblyfoodhall.com for details. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, we are Three's Company. That is for sure. We're live today at Assembly Food Hall across the street from Bridgestone Arena. You know what else is going on later tonight, Joe? 93-3 totally hits, totally Nashville. MTSU men's basketball.
Oh, yeah.
They're in action. They're taking on Louisiana Tech in the Conference USA tournament. Pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8. You can also listen on the 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville app or at totallyhitsnashville.com. So let's see what the Blue Raiders can do. If they can run through Conference USA, they can punch their ticket to the big dance.
They can. They took in Louisiana Tech tonight down in Huntsville, Alabama, and see what happens. And that's the thing, you know, with these mid-majors and the CUSA. And it's – you got to win your conference. And that's, yeah. Isn't that why Belmont went to Missouri Valley? Was I mistaken? Because they thought they could get a two teams in?
Yeah, but I don't think it's worth – I mean, when the SEC is getting 13 in, like, that's gonna hurt.
I just think that was a bad move for Belmont to go to Missouri Valley. Just a bad move.
Lipscomb's in, right? They won their tournament.
They won the A-Sun, yes.
Yeah, so they're in.
Some people told me that went to that game Sunday at Allen Arena for Lipscomb. They said it was one of the best environments basketball they've ever been in. Because, like, North Alabama bought a couple thousand people. Lipscomb had, I mean, it was sold out, packed, and fun and everything. So, good for Lipscomb. They're in the tournament. But Belmont, man, going to Missouri Valley is finding it's not as easy as it was in the OVC to get in. And I wish Belmont would have kind of stayed in the OVC. But, hey, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I mean, it was cool that they had that. So, Belmont,
they lose to Drake?
They lost to Drake. So,
well, I feel bad because, you know, 5 years ago COVID hit, and Casey Alexander, that team he had in 20 at Belmont, was, I think it was a legit top 30 team.
Yeah, I agree.
They were great. And then COVID stopped them, and they could go no further. And that was just awful for that. And that team was loaded then, but, you know, like you said, go back next year, run it back.
The more Tennessee teams that we can get into the tournament, the happier we will be. Memphis is going to be in.
Right.
Tennessee, obviously. Vanderbilt is going
to
be in.
Vanderbilt doesn't deserve to be in.
No, they're going
to
be in.
I know.
Lipscomb will be in.
UTC might be. Chattanooga.
Yep. So, if I'm missing one, let me know.
Well, ETSU and Chattanooga are both in the Southern Conference.
Yeah.
So they'll cancel each other out, but they're both very good basketball teams. And so remember that we did a segment of the day on your favorite college basketball player of all time?
Yeah.
We got so many calls. Even Nick Barris called in that day.
Yeah.
That's how important it was. And this is a time when guys become legends because, for me, of course, I'm way older than you are, but East Tennessee State had a guy named Keith Jennings, Keith Mr. Jennings at point guard, who was amazing to watch back there. And they won a few games in the tournament because of that guy. So you'll get names that are like Bryce Drew when he was at Valpo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys will start become legends in the month of March in college basketball, and that's why we love it.
Was he playing for his dad?
He was.
Yeah.
Homer.
Yeah. Not Homer Simpson, Homer Drew. We're live today at Assembly Food Hall at 5th Broadway, just across the street from Bridgestone Arena. Tomorrow, we'll continue our little road trip as we'll be live from 9 to 6 p.m. at the Pub in the Gulch. For more details, just visit thegamenashville.com/events. And again, all of our SEC tournament coverage presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. We'll have much more coming in hour number two. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.